welcome back to the 7th episode of the Bumblecast. I'm your old Lang Syne, Ian Flynn, and joining me is the New Year's baby, Kyle Kraus.
Am I really that young? I'm not that young.
Well, you're younger than me. You get to be the New Year's baby.
I don't even know how much younger I am than you.
Well, how old are you?
29.
Yeah, shut up.
Come on. I think I know how old you are, but I won't say, if you don't want me to say.
Well, I'm approaching my mid-30s, so.
Yes.
33 going on 50.
I feel like I'm about 65, so don't worry.
So here we are, staring 2016 dead in the face like an oncoming train, saying, wasn't it just turning over to the year 2000, just like last year? Why are we already 15 years into the new millennium? When did that happen?
I don't know. It certainly is the future, though. There's a lot of the future here.
On the one hand, where is my flying car? And on the other hand, thank you for not giving me the flying car. Because people can't drive in two dimensions. You add a third, and that's the end of the world.
Well, we already went over this in the episode we talked about Back to the Future, so...
Well, time is cyclical, yes. So here we are again.
True, yes. Time is very cyclical. I do agree.
But since this is... Seven episodes in, we're still stepping on each other's vocal toes. Just because this is the end of the year, this show is going to be themed around, you know, the year that has been. What we've experienced, what we've gained, what we've lost, and what we're looking forward to in the nice, even number to 2016.
Indeed. A retrospective, as it were.
So let's start off with that which is nearest and dearest to us. A little shout-out to family, those that we've gained and those that we've lost. I'd like to give a quick nod, tip of the hat, to my godson, Ryder, who was born this year, who has, just by entering the world, foisted upon me responsibility that I know I shouldn't have.
Uh-oh.
But that's okay, because I'm giving him a whole bunch of Ninja Turtle stuff for Christmas.
Well, then. Hopefully one I of say those... That, oh, never mind. Go ahead.
I say that in the future tense because the stupid order wouldn't be processed till January 8th, but, you know, he's not even 1 year old yet. He can't be disappointed.
You should give him your... You give him your comic. Your two comics, yeah. Actually, coming up soon, yes. Your TMNT comics. If you're giving him TMNT stuff, I mean, maybe not for a couple of years yet, but still...
Well, no, what I send him start these reading. Big, yeah, I send him these big plushies so he can chew on them and, you know, throw them into the dirt and really mess them up.
Well, have you been spying on me and what I do with my plushies?
Hey, let's not run that kind of radio show. This ain't Dr. Drew. And what life give us, life take us away. So one last farewell to my dear grandmother Doris, who left us this year. She was well loved. She didn't get out much, but she didn't like people, so it all worked out for her, I guess. But she will be missed.
She sounds like a woman after my own heart.
She was funny. She had a wit to her. And it leaves me in the very odd position where I have two surviving grandparents, but neither of them are blood relations.
Huh. How does that work?
Well, because...
Step grandparents?
Yep, that's it. Ah. My mother's parents divorced and then they remarried, and I've lost all my biological grandparents, but I still have grandparents, so go figure that one out.
Well, my grandmother on my mom's side is still alive and kicking, so she's a fighter. She's been in the hospital actually just a few weeks ago. Once again, she's been in and out of the hospital a little bit over the last decade or so. But one time we were almost sure she wasn't going to make it, but hey. She's still here, so I'm thankful for that.
And then she slapped death in the hand and said, "You keep those to yourself, I'm still here."
She's always kind of been like that. She's not one to give up easily about a lot of things, so.
Well, hopefully she has a happy, healthy, and boring 2016.
Yeah, I hope so too. And my one-year-old step-nephew is celebrating his birthday today. So
happy birthday, nephew!
Yep, happy birthday, Gavin. You are 1 year old. You will have no idea that this even exists, probably, but that's okay.
Rock-a-bye, Gavin, in the podcast. Can't think of a rhyme, so this will not last. Anyway.
Hey, you did it. You did it. Congratulations.
Let's not push it. Moving on to projects for the year. Of course, top of the list is that we got the Bumblecast up and running, yo.
Oh, yeah, Bumblecast?
Yeah, 7 episodes. Yeah. Ending this one.
Yeah, we're 7 episodes deep. There's no going back now. We can't do this. We can't stop it now. We have to keep going.
And thank you everyone who's been with us from the very beginning and everyone who's jumped on the bandwagon right now. All your listening is appreciated. All your views are appreciated. Heck, that you even acknowledge us is appreciated. Yeah. Love me. Love me. And Kyle. Love us.
No, it's okay. You can just love Ian. Don't worry about it.
I don't want to be selfish.
Okay, fine. I will reluctantly accept love as well.
Let's see. Did the wrapped up Mega Man, which should be out in everybody's hands now?
I don't have it. I think there's been some delays.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
I've heard about that. So anyway, yeah,
hands out.
We won't talk about that because you have no control over that.
Yeah, and we're trying to keep this as an upbeat episode.
Right, of course.
Sonic and Sonic Universe have trundled right along, continuing the Shattered World Crisis, which is going to be entering into its final phases next year. I debuted in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Amazing Adventures number 5!
Woohoo! I'm going to go pick it up this weekend, the weekend we're recording this. Next weekend I will have it, so hey, by the time this comes out, I'll have it.
And I think that's a fair bit to have done over the year.
That is some good accomplishing, sir. You have done much.
Yes, but you got us KNGI back on the air.
Yes, Nitro Game Injection returned a couple of weeks ago. So far, I've only done one episode this year. Hoping to change that, working on that, working it out with Larry. We're doing kind of trying to do a once-a-month thing because both of our schedules are immensely hectic. But I am also doing Game Fuel, video game music radio show, every week. Saturdays over at 8bitx.com streaming live, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. I've put together a ton of special shows, got some really cool stuff lined up, working with Patreon on that, patreon.com/KNGI, if you're interested in supporting those two shows. And that's about all I have this year for projects, really. But I'm always working on new shows and podcast stuff, podcast-related stuff, so...
I'm going to add one more to the pile. I forgot about this. There's a small personal comic called Spirit Legend that I've done some solicit copy for. And to promote their Patreon, they asked me to write up a promotional trailer for them. And so I wrote up the script for that, and that turned out pretty spiffy, gotta say. So if you want to check it out, head on over to BumbleKing.com, look under the Indies section in the comics, and check out Spirit Legend's Patreon and see my handiwork. It's pretty neat. You know, projects are all well and good, but there's nothing better than wasting all that productive free time than with video gems.
Of course.
Good old video gems you play on your television.
Yes, you can do other things on your television too, but why bother?
Exactly. So what have you played this year, Kyle? Anything notable?
The most notable thing I played, my personal game of the year, I think, if I had to choose one, would be actually not really... an entire game at all, really. More of an expansion. The Plague of Shadows expansion to Shovel Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely fantastic stuff. And it's free. That's the best part.
You know, I would chalk that up to a full game in and of itself. Because, it uses the same levels and such, but you have to do it in such a different way, and there's so much original content. It's easily a sequel to Shovel Knight, not an expansion.
Effectively, yeah. It is. The gameplay is very, very different. It's definitely a lot more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But it is super fun. And of course, it's Shovel Knight, so it's fantastic.
Yes, it is.
And of course, greatly expands the roles of Plague Knight and Mona. Two of my more upper echelon characters from the game, especially Mona. She's really cool, so... I was glad to see, especially her, get more of a storyline expansion. And it's really weird that a game called Plague of Shadows would be so focused on, like, a romantic aspect. And a romantic aspect that actually works. And this is an 8-bit platformer with a romance that actually is, like, it's kind of nice, you know?
It's really endearing. Works. It's sweet.
Yeah. It is definitely is. It works really well. What about you, sir? What games have you been playing that really got your attention this year?
Well, thanks to you, I got turned on to Shovel Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Played that from start to finish and wrapped it up just in time for Plague of Shadows, and both of those were absolutely delightful.
Oh, yes.
Really looking forward to the Amiibo. With the closing of Club Nintendo, Teardrop, I was able to cash in on a bunch of games. I got to play Super Metroid for the first time.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a little slow on the draw there, but now I see why everyone was just so adamant about it, why people love it so much, because it is just a spectacular game.
Yeah, the entire Metroid series really is just pretty freaking phenomenal. I mean, Other M notwithstanding, at least as far as storyline. I actually don't mind the gameplay in Other M, but I know the story did not go very well for most people.
Also played through a fair bit of Metroid Fusion, which was still enjoyable, but I got stuck on one of the bosses and then just kind of rage quit.
That's funny, because Metroid Fusion actually is pretty much just leads right into Other M, I think. So
not going to count that as canon. La 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 la, can't hear you. Got to experience the wonderful 101, which
I haven't played that yet. I want to.
I watched through a extremely excellently put together comprehensive Let's Play done by Chip and Ironicus, which I'll make sure to link with the video. They are a phenomenal duo. And the game looked absolutely amazing. So I had the points. I figured, why not just go all out? And knowing what's in there, knowing all the nuances, all that you can do with the game, it is spectacular. And it's really sad that it didn't pick up as much as like Splatoon did. But it's a platinum game.
Yeah.
And it is really unforgiving, even on the easy modes. So for someone who with limited gaming ability, such as myself, it's a fair bit brutal. But it's a phenomenal game, so if you haven't tried it out, I highly recommend it. Just know that there's a bit of a learning curve.
It's on my list to pick up eventually, but it might be a little while.
Also picked up, I forget which Fire Emblem it is. It's the one where you play as Lynn and Ellawood.
I am completely blanking, but yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
It's that one.
The Game Boy Advance game, yeah.
And I'm not sure how far along I'm in it. The problem with Fire Emblem is I can't play more than like one mission at a time because I get too tense. Just making sure I don't lose a single unit, making sure every move is correct, stressing over what to sell and what not, and oh god, is this axe going to break, and I need to level up my lords, but I can't put them on the front lines because if they die, then all of this was for nothing. I just spent an hour moving this one unit. Ah! So, yeah, it's a great game. It's fun, but I don't have the constitution to play through it very fast.
I got into Splatoon this year. That was a big game this year for me.
Huge.
Yeah, I haven't picked it up in a little while though. I should get back into it, but yeah, it's pretty freaking fantastic.
Had a bit of a slow rollout, but I think that worked since it was.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it felt like Nintendo was going, okay, we are introducing a type of gameplay that our regular client base has never really touched or wouldn't necessarily be familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So let's roll it out slowly, and they just keep pumping out content. So
yeah, I was surprised. I wasn't sure what they were going to keep doing, what Nintendo was going to keep doing after they got through all the on-disc content once they had unlocked that, but they're keeping up strong with it, and it's all totally free, which is really nice. So
mm-hmm. Did Hyrule Warriors come out this year? Or was that last year?
No, that was last year, but we can still mention it because it's a freaking awesome game, and the the 3DS version is coming out within the next year, so
yeah, it's gonna still plugging away at that. Still haven't finished the first blinking adventure map.
I don't know if it's even possible to finish that game.
Oh, it is. I've seen people who've not only finished every adventure map but gotten A's on every single stage.
Oh boy.
I don't know how they do it.
Have fun with that. I don't have the patience.
This year also saw the debut of the new Sonic franchise, Sonic Boom, and I played Rise of Lyric and Shattered Crystal at launch.
And the less said about them, the better?
Well, Shattered Crystal I kind of enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
I could see where people had fault with it, because there's elements of the stages that are Metroidvania-esque, but because they're more geared towards classic Sonic gameplay, you don't really get to go back and explore. So there's a lot of places where it doesn't feel like you're exploring so much as you're fighting the level design to go back and get that one thing you missed. But overall, I enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to Fire and Ice because it sounds like they're taking the time to take what they did in the first game and really iron out the wrinkles. And it should be interesting. It should be fun. Rise of Lyric had a lot of potential.
Yeah, it was a missed opportunity, I would say.
Big miss. There's some really funny moments in it, and there are aspects here and there that I kind of enjoy. but it was really clear that the thing suffered from development issues. The fact that they, you know, lost, I think, 50% of the team.
Yeah.
And the project lead and budget cuts and were forced to use the graphics driver that they weren't really optimizing for and yada, 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 yada. It could have been better, but the franchise itself is doing just fine. I mean, the cartoon is doing amazing.
Yeah.
It was put in the kill slot in the cartoon lineup, and it still is crushing expectations. So, I don't know. I'm optimistic. I'm hoping that they continue to run with it and do some new fun stuff with it. Last game to play this year was Tales of Zestiria, the latest in the Tales of RPG series.
Yes.
I had heard iffy things about it, and then my wife picked up some of the cutscenes online and said, nope, we're taking the plunge. And the localization and the voice acting are phenomenal. They're fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a single main character that I dislike. They're all fun. They're all endearing. Gameplay, it takes more of the Tales of Graces style, where you are running off your, instead of mana, you've got your SC gauge, which limits the amount of attacks you can do all in one go, but that, you know, levels up in time and you learn to connect moves in better ways. It lends for a more frantic and high-paced battle system, I suppose. The camera, though, that's the big mark against it, because the camera's garbage. The camera will wind up in the floor, the camera will wind up inside of enemies. The big draw for the battle system this game, this time around, is that wherever you are in the dungeon when you're attacked, instead of going to a separate battle screen, the enemies appear on the level, kind of Chrono Trigger style.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, like, there's a haunted mansion stage. Sometimes the camera's in the other room, but you're fighting in this room, and you're not quite sure what you're hitting or what's hitting you because the camera is currently wedged in the door jamb. So,
that's useful.
No, the opposite, actually.
I'm being sarcastic.
Oh, okay. But despite that, it's still fun, still engaging, and it's notable that it's the first Tales game where the crazy crack shippers that make the gay pairing are not wrong.
Oh, really?
The main protagonist and his bestest buddy are virtually confirmed to be the lead couple.
Nice.
And it's interesting, too, because they really rein back on the romance angle in this game compared to a bunch of other Tales games.
Yeah.
So it's not like they really push that in the forefront. But if you go through the game and you know to look for it, it's very organically and very subtly built up.
Nice.
So that when you get to the very end, each character has their kind of singular moment where they talk with the main protagonist. And the way that ends, it's like, okay, yeah, yep. That's what they are. But it's cool. It's fun. They're a sweet couple. So that's cool.
Awesome. Another game that came out last year, but I just got into it this year, a game I'm sure most of our listeners are familiar with or have at least heard of, Freedom Planet, a very loving Sonic the Hedgehog-style side-scrolling tribute game with a lot of Gunstar Heroes influence thrown in there as well. Really fun, definitely a great tribute to classic Sega Genesis Sonic style gameplay. The story may be a little overbearing for some. The voice acting, I don't know. I thought it was all right, actually. I thought the voice acting was okay, pretty decent for an indie platformer game, but it may be a little overbearing for some. But hey, there's an entire mode where you can play without it. So hey, no story at all. Just play through the levels just like a classic Sonic game. So definitely a great level design. The art direction is really, really pretty, and just a really nice game, so definitely go check that out. I think it just got a Wii U release this year, so it's a release from this year, we'll call it that. Even though it came out last year on PC. So go ahead, Ian.
Just saying, I've dabbled in it myself. I haven't gotten too far in it, but it's pretty much everything you said, so we don't need to retread that ground.
Alrighty then. Got any other games this year that you hit up that you enjoyed?
I picked up Shadows of Mordor, or Lord of the Rings, Shadows of Mordor, however long the title is, on a whim, on recommendation. Because I haven't moved on to the next console generation, I had it on the 360.
Yeah.
And you could tell it was not optimized for last gen, because I could pretty much run from one end of the map to the other, and the textures still hadn't fully loaded. It's worth a rental, I suppose, or used, because the first few hours into it, it's actually rather fun. It's like a Assassin's Creed Lite. The climbing is easier, the stealth is far more forgiving, and you're just this one dude with an elf spirit glued to him running around, tearing through orcs and goblins and whatnot. With the main draw being that the enemies that kill you, you're immortal, basically, in the game. You just respawn, and that's part of the storyline. But the enemies that kill you remember you and rise to the ranks, so what you can do is use these orcs' particular fears or hang-ups or personal enemies against each other to wipe out their ranks or move up the ones that you want into a position of power. And in practice, it's a little tedious, but it was fun enough at first. But then by the time you get to the end game, two of the subquests cannot be completed because the data's just not there. The bosses, they just throw at you really, really quickly. And the tedium of it just gets to be too much. It's the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And the first little bit, it's fun. But after a while, it's like, okay, I've got this down to a science. I know exactly what I'm doing. It's tiresome rather than playful. Dabbled in XCOM for the first time this year, I think.
Oh, yeah? The new one?
Not the new one. This was Enemy Within, the first move to 3D console.
I still consider that the new one, because when I think XCOM, I think, oh, man, really old school.
But that, I'm not tactically minded. I am not cunning in the slightest. And that game is really, really unforgiving. So it's neat. Mm-hmm. I really like all the options that it gives you. And for someone who is smarter than me, they probably would enjoy it more. It just royally kicked my ass. So this gets a humble nod of, you did good, you beat me, game.
So, Ian, did you catch any good movies this year?
Not as many as I wanted to, unfortunately. As of this recording, still haven't seen The Martian, still haven't seen the final Mockingjay, and don't know when I'm going to get around to seeing Star Wars. So the only one I can really think of off the top of my head was James Bond's Spectre, and we already covered that in a Bumblecast in the past.
Yep.
It was there.
Right. We don't really need to go over that one again. But however, I think a movie we should touch on, Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, how could I forget?
Oh, man. That's my freaking movie of the decade.
That really was. And I've not seen any of the other Mad Maxes. I feel obligated to go see them now because Mad Max Fury Road was just phenomenal. It wasn't just a good Mad Max movie.
No.
It wasn't just a good sci-fi movie or fantasy movie or whatever you want to classify it.
A post-apocalyptic movie, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
It was, yes, absolutely fantastic. One of the best movies, in my opinion, ever. And
it really is. It's a solid movie.
Yes. I would, if you're going to go back and watch the first three Mad Max movies, I would recommend at least one and two for sure. The third one gets really cheesy and silly, but it's fun in its own way, but it definitely cranks up the 80s.
I see.
Yeah, both. All four of them, though, great movies, definitely worth your time. But Fury Road, man, just the character design, especially of the villains, the vehicle design, the vehicles were fantastic. I love post-apocalyptic vehicles. They always turn out excellent. This is like freaking Twisted Metal style vehicles, but they look even better than that. They're just excellent.
And the choreography.
Yeah. Any movie for me, any movie that has a well-done car chase is right up my alley. And this pretty much is nothing but a car chase. The entire movie is a freaking car chase. And it works. And it works insanely well.
I remember when they finally get to the end of their journey and they're freaking out because the promised land is dead. It's like, well, what do we do? Well, we'll just go back the way we came. It's like, yeah, we get to watch this in reverse. Awesome.
Yeah, I wasn't worried about that at all. It's like, all right, let's go back. Yeah.
Did I tell you about the Immortan Joe cosplayer I saw at HeroesCon this year?
I think so, but you did not tell the fine folks of the Bumblecast listening.
Okay, I didn't know if I'd cover this in a previous episode.
Go for it.
So I'm at HeroesCon, biggest comic show in the Southeast. I'm at my table, and this really excellent Immortan Joe cosplayer goes by as I'm talking to somebody. And I scream, Immortan Joe! Immortan Joe! And he looks over me and goes, what? And the guy at my table look at him and say, he looked at me! He looked at me! if you've seen the movie, you know the scene I'm referencing. It was funny and it was fulfilling, and I think the guy got it. It's just hard to tell when half his face is covered.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he was getting it all day. That's awesome. there's really hardly any Max in it at all. He's there, but he's definitely not the driving character. He's not the focus character, which is fine. He's already had three movies. It definitely focuses more on Furiosa and her story, and I thought that was really, really well done.
Well, my understanding of Mad Max, and this could be completely wrong,
yeah,
but as a franchise, it's more that Max is something of the lens with which you look at the rest of the world.
Right, that's exactly it.
He's more incidental than he is. It's kind of like Conan, sort of.
Yeah.
He is the hero that wanders in and out of other people's stories, and he's kind of the catalyst that changes things for them.
Yeah, he's sort of like the wandering hero where the people around him are sort of more the focus. But that was definitely upped in this movie in particular. I suppose the second movie kind of also did that. The first movie did mainly focus a lot on him because it was pre-apocalyptic. I think it led into the apocalypse, and then the second one is when you see the results of the nuclear war.
Okay. Well, on the topic of movies, let's use that to turn and look into the future. What movies are you looking forward to, Kyle?
That's a good question. Other than Star Wars, I'm watching with bated breath. I'm interested. I'm a big fan of the Marvel comic book movies, so I'm definitely looking forward to Captain America Civil War, especially after how fantastic Captain America Winter Soldier was.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got X-Men Apocalypse and Deadpool coming out this year, two movies I'm also fairly interested in.
Mm-hmm.
What are you interested in this year?
Well, like you said, the Marvel movies, I'm hesitant. I'm worried about Captain America 3, just because the cast is so large.
Yeah.
And they have so much to cover in that film. If they make it work, then hot diggity, it's going to be awesome. After Age of Ultron, I worry that they're getting a little sloppy. Like, they feel like they can do no wrong, or that they can, you know, the stuff that folks were forgiving initially because the movies were fun, folks are expecting something a little more tighter now. We'll see.
Yeah. Age of Ultron was okay, but it was kind of a little bit disappointing.
Yeah.
I really did like Ant-Man, though. Ant-Man I thought was great. I thought it was really entertaining.
Still haven't seen that yet. I need to get to it.
I think you'll like it. It's funny. It definitely has a lot of funny moments, and I just say that Wasp. I'm definitely looking forward to. I'm definitely looking forward to more Wasp because she is awesome. I love Wasp. Rogue One, the Star Wars movie, is coming out this year. We talked about that kind of in the last episode. I'm definitely looking forward to that one. But it's all going to kind of depend on how Star Wars 7 goes. If 7 isn't that good, then my excitement for Rogue One will probably diminish.
Well, it's not the same director, right? Or producer?
No, all of the movies are going to have, I believe, different directors. At least all the ones that have been announced so far. So, it could be...
It could be.
Could be something different.
It would be. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
I guess there's a new Star Trek movie coming out this year. I didn't even realize that.
Yep, that one's coming along. And I enjoyed the other two. You know, just didn't think too hard about them.
Yeah, if you try to think of them as Star Trek, you just get angry, but...
In terms of games coming up, we've got a slew of new Smash Brothers content coming out. We are recording this before the announcement, the final video is made, so, you know, it may be that I changed my tune at that point, but I don't think so. I think I'm going to be crazy. I'm more excited for the Smash Brothers announcement than I am for Christmas, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
So we'll see what that comes about. Looking forward to the extension to Hyrule Warriors. Looking forward to more news, any news of the new Legend of Zelda. Because all they've shown so far, Buck's convention. They haven't shown Link in the usual greens. The sword he carries is obviously not the Master Sword. It's something enormous. The map looks ridiculously huge. I want to know more.
I'm just looking forward to a Linkle game.
Linkle game, which is entirely possible?
It very well could be, especially depending on how Hyrule Warriors Legends is received, which I hope it is received well.
Waiting for news on the NX and whatever that will entail, because I'm sure we're going to get news of that next year, if not by the end of the year. You know, maybe this podcast will be dated, but rumors are they have already begun producing the machine, so we should hear something soon.
I'm looking forward to Mirror's Edge Catalyst, actually. It looks really nice. I definitely enjoyed the first one a lot, so I would like to definitely like to get my hands on the new one. Street Fighter 5, I'm always down for a new Street Fighter, so I'm not very good at them, but I'm in. I always love Street Fighter. It's just, it's fun, you know? Even if you're not good at it, it's still fun.
Well, there's Star Fox Zero coming out, which really hoping that doesn't suck.
Mighty Number 9 should be coming out this coming year.
Maybe, possibly.
Maybe. I'm looking forward to that. I know there's been some contention regarding that game, but, you know, I'm still looking forward to giving it a shot.
Sonic Boom, Fire and Ice will be out. So what do you have planned for next year? Resolutions? Projects?
Plans for next year. More Bumblecast.
Yeah.
I would like to see this become a weekly thing if we can do it. If we can swing it. If we can both get enough time somehow to manage to get to make Bumblecast a weekly thing. I would love that. I would edit every episode if it meant we could do it weekly. But I just don't have... I don't have the time to do that, and I know you don't have the time to do that, but if we can figure out a way to expand the Bumblecast and get, first of all, get more people interested and on board and listening, and, you know, just get more time to do it, that would be really, really good. I would also like to grow Nitro Game Injection back to doing that weekly as well. It's just a monthly thing right now, so I'm hoping we can work out a way to do that every week again. So I could do 3 shows a week. What are you hoping for this next year?
Well, like you said, see if we can't get the Bumblecast to maybe grow into bigger, better things. Or at the very least, expand the listenership.
Oh, yeah.
Like it if we could at least break the 200 listener mark by the end of 2016. We'll see if that happens.
Tell your friends.
Hoping to get a little more time on Ninja Turtles. We'll see how that goes. Going to push for that. Sonic Universe is still plugging along. Just fine and dandy. And then there's stuff that I would love to talk about right now, but I can't. So there's secret thing number one that I have no idea when it's going to be announced. And even when it is, I'm going to have to keep my involvement kind of. Secret project number two is coming along very, very slowly. As soon as it gets announced, I'm going to be shouting it from the rooftops because it's huge for my career, but can't really talk about it yet.
Uh-oh. I don't even know what it is.
And then the newest thing on my plate is huge, and it will hopefully be happening in the summer. I just started developing it this month, being December, with the objective of launching it in the summer. We'll see how that goes. A lot of spinning plates, but it's really exciting if I can get this to work. And I think folks who are fans of my work and fans of the people I've been working with over the years will also be excited for this. So stay tuned to BumbleKing.com for all your latest Bumble news.
The best news, Bumble news.
Also trying to lose weight because I'm a fatty fat.
We were both in that club, I believe.
I actually started a diet, and it's killing me. It's, you know, portion control and seeing what you're consuming every day, and it's like, I feel healthier, but by God, I'd kick a puppy to get a cheeseburger. Not hard, you know, just a little love tap, but oh man, I need a cheeseburger.
Just gotta count them calories. You can have a cheeseburger, you just have to sacrifice other meals.
Well, the way that the thing works out is I have to pretty much sacrifice everything, because you only have so many fats that you can consume in a day. So that one burger is like your fats for the week.
you just have to make your own burger with altered ingredients. There you go.
Yeah, tofu.
You don't have to go that far.
I am looking forward to Christmas dinner, though, because my mother-in-law goes all out with that. She's a good cook. On that day, calories don't count. It's just, you know, you consume, and then you burp, and then you open presents, and that's how it works.
That's Christmas. Sounds like Christmas to me. All right. I think that's pretty much it for this coming year for me. One thing I would love to do in 2016 is get up there again.
Oh, absolutely. We'd love to have you.
Get up to Toronto again. It was absolutely fantastic, and I loved it, and I didn't want to leave.
Do the Bumble Canadian cast.
Yes.
Record it live.
We need to do, yes, live in person. Yes. I will lug my equipment up there just to do that. I don't care.
You say that until you have to pay the baggaging fees.
Hey, you know what? There's actually not that much. I took a lot of it with me when I went to MAGFest, too, and it wasn't that bad. So I have huge suitcase, so I'm good.
All right. Alrighty, so we've talked about the past. We've talked about the future. Let's move on to the present. You got some questions for me, Kyle?
Oh, yes, I do.
Let's ring in the new year with a top six countdown of questions that are in no particular order and are just questions because that's what you have. And
yep, all related to you and your writing on the Sonic the Hedgehog comic books. Although I guess one of these could be directed at both of us, but anyway.
Yeah, see how that goes.
Yes. All right, first up, Diamond Death asks, assuming you were allowed to use sticks in the comics, would you plan on using the sticks from Sonic Boom that somehow wound up in the main comic, or would you use a new version of sticks native to the main comic universe?
Diamond Death, and here I thought diamonds were forever. But really depends on what Sega wants us to do, or would allow us to do. For the sake of brand separation, I would most likely try to introduce a Archie Sonic version of sticks. I already have an idea of how I would do that and what I would want to do. But if Sega said, no, we want to keep it down to one sticks, or heck, if they even decide to introduce sticks into the mainline games, you know, we'd follow their cue. So it really depends on what Sega says.
I just personally hope it happens, because I think sticks is great.
Oh, she's delightful.
Yes, she is. She's lovely. This next question is from actually a really good friend of mine, Wallen. He listens to this show, which is awesome. He says, I got such a huge kick out of seeing characters from Golden Axe in Worlds Unite. Is there any possibility of Archie producing more stories from other Sega or Capcom franchises? Maybe as a Sonic Universe-styled anthology book with different stories and arcs from different games every month.
That would be cool. I have no idea how much of a licensing nightmare that would be, or what the costs would be involved.
Oh, yeah.
When we did World Unite, all the license holders were generally really cool and very lax with our representations. They only really corrected us here and there. I think they understood what the project was and said, all right, just don't make, you know, Amoratsu green or something. But I don't know if Archie is interested in doing that right now. I can't really speak for the company. I'm not really technically affiliated with them, so
right.
It would all be up to them. If someone were to present such a project to me, I would be all over it. But I don't exactly have the kind of clout where I get to talk to companies like that. Hey, wouldn't it be cool if we did a comic? Here, pay me. Yeah, no, that's not how it works.
I just want to see a Daytona comic. I don't even know how that would work exactly, but you can make it work. I guess there are...
It's a flip book.
But, hey, that works.
So you can actually watch the cars drive around.
Yes, of course. There are actually named drivers in the Daytona universe, but they have no character design or personality outlined or anything. They just have names. So,
well, you saw what happened with F-Zero.
Oh, yeah. The F-Zero greatly expanded on that. So you might be able to do therefore, something similar with Daytona. Yeah, see that. Afterburner, too. You could also do something with that. I don't know what. I mean, it's a... Air Force.
If it has
it's
a
an Air Force
story,
you can do
I
that.
Can do so. Let me put it this way. Not to blow my own horn here, but Mega Man 1 was Dr. Wily bad, you run right, shoot robots.
There's not much to it, no. There's not much
I
to
got
Sonic
a lot of mileage
either.
Out of that. I got a lot of mileage out of that. So yeah. If you give me, you know, airplanes fly fast, shoot down other airplanes, I could make a comic out of that. You just got to give me some time.
That sounds awesome. I would totally read that comic. I'm sure it exists somewhere. Not directly Afterburner related, but I don't know, probably Ace Combat. Ace Combat is like a really good example of a story-driven Air Force game now that I think about it. Anyway, Chaotic K9 asks, that's both of those with a K, by the way.
Right up the Bumble King's alley.
Of course. Ian, do you have any legit plans for Cream the Rabbit in the comic soon? As in, does she get to actually do stuff that justifies her position as a freedom fighter and a main character?
She actually has a key role in one of the plans towards the end of the Shattered World arc. And then after that, I want to try to focus on smaller teams and tighter character-driven stories, and that will give her more chance to shine.
Awesome. Would that be related to Sonic Universe, or would that be in the main line book as well?
I'm more or less treating them all as one giant book. It's just I get to tell longer format stories in Universe and more quicker stories in Sonic.
I think that might be one reason why I actually enjoy Universe just a little bit more. There's just a little bit more depth to it, I think. You get a little bit more into the characters, which I really enjoy. So, Line by Line asks, if there were a Relic the Pika amiibo, what games would be compatible with it, and what would it do?
Hmm.
Well, I'd say put her in Smash.
The only thing that immediately pops to mind would be, well, any of the exploration games. So, like, something cutesy like Toad's Treasure Tracker, or whatever it was called.
That was, yeah, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, yeah.
I mean, she could be, you know, pop her amiibo on there, and she unlocks a new treasure, or she appears in the game map and points out an alternate route or a hidden thing. Put her in a Tomb Raider or an Uncharted-style game, and she can do all the climbing and sleuthing, but when it comes to the gunplay, she just kind of runs and hides, going, no, 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 no! any of the Assassin's Creed things, you know, walk around the streets, and instead of sneaking around and blending into the environment, she's going, oh, goodness me, this is dates back from such and such and such, which blah, 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 and all the, you know, data files that you would normally have to go through manually, she just spouts out as you walk around. No combat whatsoever, she's just a very noisy tourist. Relic is, see, when we created Relic, a lot of thought went into, you know, who she would be and how she would complement Knuckles' character. Because, you know, Knuckles pretty much became a clean slate when we did the reboot of the book.
Right.
It's like, we want somebody who can complement his character in a way that hasn't been done before. And since treasure hunting and exploration and digging and whatnot was part of the character that seems to be fallen by the wayside, we came up with Relic as an archaeologist so that she would be complementary to that. And purposefully made her a non-combatant so that there wasn't any competition on the screen for Knuckles. When things get rough, he goes in with the fist smack crackle. She's not a damsel in distress, mind you, but luckily, she also is not someone who is always going to get into a fight. There is, you know, just because you don't fight doesn't necessarily mean you're defenseless.
Right.
And we went ahead and made her a pika because they're a semi-obscure species. They're not the most... You don't immediately think of them. You think of mice or rabbits or whatever. To go along with the fact that he's an echidna, which is an equally somewhat obscure species. So I'm glad that she took off as well as she did with the fandom.
And you can tell that she's obscure because I completely pronounced her species name wrong. Unless that's the right way and you're saying it the wrong way, but I'm going to say that you're saying it the right way and I'm saying it the wrong way because that would make a lot more sense. I didn't even know what a pika was. I know what a pika is, that stupid yellow rat. Tsurugi asks, what podcast do you listen to, if any, while working or in your spare time?
I don't, honestly. I don't really have a lot of spare time. I will occasionally watch Rooster Teeth's podcast, and every now and again I'll go through Slow Beef's Retsupre, which is just this shameless mockery of all things lackluster on the internet. But otherwise, if I do have free time, it's gaming or it's working, which I guess technically doesn't fall under free time.
Yeah. I have a lot of time at my job to listen to podcasts. It's basically all I can do. It's pretty much the one thing that sort of keeps me, attempts to at least keep me grounded and in reality, because my job is not interesting, to say the least. But I listen to a lot of podcasts. I've gotten into them when I started this job. So one of my main things that I listen to actually is a show called Critical Hit, which is a Dungeons and Dragons live play podcast. They play 4th edition live as a podcast, of course. And it's a lot of fun to listen to. It's very story driven, and the players are fantastic. They role play excellently. And there's like 300 something episodes. It's been going on since 2008, and it's a show I definitely recommend if you're into tabletop gaming or just gaming in general, or just want something really entertaining and hilarious. It's probably one of my best finds of 2015, actually, because I just started listening to it this year. So I would definitely recommend that. That's part of the Major Spoilers podcast network. And Major Spoilers is a comic podcast as well that I also recommend. It's a podcast that's kind of helped me get a little bit more into comic books in general this year as well, more than just Sonic stuff, Sonic and Mega Man, because my comic knowledge is kind of from the outside, so I was woefully lacking in a lot of the detailed information, but it definitely helped me get more into, you know, some of the superhero stuff and what's going on in the indie side. So a great show, the Major Spoilers podcast. The show's over at kngi.org. I definitely listen to all of those because I have a lot of time to listen to them. If you enjoy good music, definitely check those shows out. Also, there's a show I listen to called Trends Like These, which talks about internet trends, starring Travis McElroy and his friend Brentel Floss, who I know some of you might know for his video game music with lyrics series, sort of a Weird Al parody style of video game music that's on YouTube. They both host a show talking about internet trends and news and stuff that they're pretty damn entertaining and funny, so I definitely recommend that show as well. It's a little bit more on the NSFW side as far as language goes, but still a really enjoyable show. Critical Hit and the Major Spoilers podcast, by the way, are completely clean, so if you enjoy this show, you should be pretty much safe listening to those as well, for the most part. The Fat Panda asks, I hope you'll reveal the full timeline for the games in due time, but for now, answer me this. Sonic CD before Sonic 2 or after? Or neither?
I'd have to check my notes again, and this is again without editorial approval or yada yada yada, and subject to change. I think I've got it set after Sonic 2, just because it makes more sense in terms of the comics continuity.
Yeah.
Because in the comic continuity, it goes more or less Sonic 1, Sonic 2, and then Adventure of other types, with Sonic CD and Sonic 3 and Knuckles happening shortly-ish thereafter. So, we're going to say after Sonic 2, but that's subject to change, and it's not the game canon anyway, so if you don't like it, too bad.
If you don't like it, who cares? I've always put it before Sonic 2 in my own head, but, I mean, that has no bearing on the comics, I don't think, really.
Not really, and I understand folks placing it before Sonic 2 because of the art with Tails saying, see you next game, and the fact that Sonic is solo in it. But at the same time, Sonic is this wandering adventurer, not quite Mad Max style, but he's not really tied down to as tight a continuity as some people think he ought to be. So
yeah,
you could argue that he ran off to do the Little Planet adventure before Tails was really keeping up with him, or Tails decided to chill out and sit this adventure out. Or maybe Sonic got up first, ran out, saw Little Planet, saved it, came back in time, and Tails was like, oh, hey, I just made eggs.
Yeah, time travel, yeah.
Sonic, what do you mean you already had it?
I was going to say, Sonic CD has always kind of been in limbo as far as the timeline goes anyway. So I've always put it before Sonic 2. I don't know why for sure, other than the fact that it was just Sonic alone. What do you think of Sonic CD?
I've never gotten a chance to play it all the way through, truth be told. I never owned a Sega CD, and it was different enough from regular Sonic that I didn't enjoy it as much when I got a chance to play it. So, I don't know, it's not something I've really played a lot of.
Well, that's a shame. I love Sonic CD. It's like right up there with Sonic 3 and Knuckles as far as my personal favorites, and then trailing right behind would be Sonic 2. It's definitely a bit different. It's more of an exploration game rather than just straight running through the level. I suppose you can explore in the other games as well. They definitely encourage it, but
right.
Sonic CD's style is more search for the stuff in the past to make the future good. Search for Robotnik's or Eggman's stuff in the past and destroy it to make the future good. But yeah, anyway.
I think that was my major problem with it, was that I was trying to play it like Sonic 2, and you can't do that because it's not the same type of game. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll go back to it at some point with that corrected mindset in mind.
I actually played it on a Sega CD back when it was new, but it was a borrowed Sega CD and a rented game. So I did not own it, sadly, until I guess it was like 96 or 97 when it came out on PC, the original PC release, which I still have. And then, of course, the, what was it, 2012 or re-release, HD re-release, which looks absolutely phenomenal. And I really wish they would do full PC and console releases for the Sonic 1 and 2 HD remakes, but whatever.
Yeah.
They really need to get on that. And do one for Sonic 3 and Knuckles as well. Come on. Don't leave us hanging here. We need the quadrilogy in HD.
We can dream.
Or at least an original game by Christian Whitehead. That would be really nice.
Do we have any more questions?
Nope, that's going to do it for this round of Q&A on the Bumblecast.
All right, so some quick plugs here. Any news about me, you can find it on bumbleking.com, or you can follow my Twitter at IanFlynnBKC.
And you can find me on Twitter at KyleJCRB. or you can follow what I'm doing with the video game music podcasts over at kngi.org. Be sure to check out all the shows we have on there. They're great. You will enjoy them. If you like this show, I'm sure you will enjoy them. If you like good music and video game talk, go check it out.
So on behalf of my co-pilot Kyle, I'd like to thank you guys for joining us for Bumblecast in 2015, a few episodes that there were. We look forward to seeing you again next year for Bumblecast number 8 on January 11th, 2016.
Yes.
Thanks so much. Hope you had some happy holidays. Hope you have a happy new year. And we'll see you then.
Have a good year, everybody. See you next year. We still need that death metal remix of our theme song.
Yeah, we do.
We need some guitars. I don't care if they're metal or not. They just need to be guitars. They can be made of wood. Actually, most guitars are made of wood. Anyway. Thank you for listening to the Bumblecast. Please subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review on iTunes. Find more episodes at bumbleking.com and kngi.org. Bumblecast is copyright Bumble King Comics. Original music composed by Ken Coda Snyder, used with permission. Find more music from Coda at bc.s3m.us. Pay what you want for the intro theme. As part of the compilation album Noise Chan and Nugget Adventures in Chiptune at noisechanradio.bandcamp.com.